The Kane Prize for African Writing is awarded each year to a writer from Africa whose work is published in English. Well, this year, for the first time, the prize has been awarded to an African writer living outside of Africa. His name is Tope Fularen, and he's from Nigeria, but has spent almost his entire life in the United States. And it's that experience of being part of the Nigerian diaspora that's at the heart of Miracle, the short story that earned Fularen the prize. It's set in an evangelical Nigerian church in Texas, where the congregation has gathered to witness the healing powers of a blind pastor slash prophet. Tope Fularen joins us from London. So your short story, Miracle, really brought me right into that church on a hot Sunday in North Texas, the gospel music, the amens, the booming voice of the miracle worker pastor. Did you grow up going to a church like that?
I absolutely did, and I drew on those experiences in writing the story. I spent much of my childhood in that sort of African Pentecostal setting, and so in writing this story, I was able to draw on memories that have lived within me for a very long time.
I mean, I've been to gospel concerts where people go into trances. Do you ever witness a pastor performing miracles like the one in your story?
I have many times. Miracles, all kinds of things that have happened that seem to defy the imagination. And I thought that was a wonderful entry point for my story, because I think literature and fiction is all about defying the imagination.
And the reader, I mean, I read this, I teetered on the edge between believing whether the narrator is in with the whole kind of pastor thing or not. So how do you feel?
As a writer, I'm pleased to hear that you were teetering. I'm not sure how I feel. For me, the most important thing is that the sort of protagonist leaves with the sense that a miracle has occurred, even though ostensibly a miracle hasn't occurred.
So at one point in your story, the visiting pastor says to the parishioners, America is trying to teach you to accept your failures, your setbacks. Now is the time to reject them, to claim the success that is rightfully yours. And I found that both a call to be more Nigerian, but also very American. You know, you can change yourself, your destiny, the power of the individual. Did you intend that double message?
Absolutely. He's giving them a sense of the American dream and giving them a pep talk as well. And it's funny, I like the irony in sort of saying that you guys have to achieve your American dream, but shrouding that language in kind of language that almost seems anti-American in a way. And I thought I was intrigued by that kind of duality there. These are people who kind of feel as if they've been beat down by the American experience. And the prophet from Nigeria is saying to them, hey, go on and possess the land, as it were. That's, you know, a very biblical call to action. He's asking them to claim what is theirs in America. The funny thing for me in the story as well is that he also spent some time saying that America is a land of promise, a land of opportunity, that America could be good for you. So I think a lot of people in the diaspora feel that way about America or wherever they happen to be, that it's a place that simultaneously embraces and pushes them away.
I'm just curious, because I know you've only spent a very brief part of your life, like a year in Nigeria.
Yes.
How does your own life parallel with that of the narrator in Miracle?
There are some incredibly important parallels, especially with the protagonist. As you might have noticed, the story starts with what's called a first-person plural voice, or the we voice. That's a communal voice. And I wanted to utilize that because I think it's incredibly important to capture the sense of community that occurs in every single church setting, or sometimes at a music concert as well, where you're kind of hearing the music thumping and you kind of lose yourself in that moment. I wanted to capture that. But then the protagonist steps away. The I voice is separated from that. And in some ways, I resemble that I voice, because when I was growing up, wasn't quite sure what community I was a part of. And in this story, I think it kind of doubles as a kind of initiation, right? Because the prophet, while he's performing this miracle, is also asking the protagonist if he wants to be a member of the community. And he's saying, if you want to be a member of this community, this is what you have to do to be accepted and be loved and be appreciated fully. And so I think my protagonist in the story makes that choice. And perhaps in my own life, I've made those choices as well.
Just help me understand something at the end of the story. It's a story about the power of faith, even if it involves some lying. But as the miracle is performed, the young man realizes it's a lie, but he still goes along with it. Why?
He goes along with it because he's carrying the burdens of the entire diaspora on his back, essentially. He recognizes that if he says he can't see, then the hopes and dreams and fears of everybody in the congregation will sink in that very moment, and he'll be responsible for that. So he's entering a kind of implicit contract with the prophet. The prophet is saying to him, essentially, we are in this together, and let's keep the hopes and dreams of the congregation alive. And I think maybe for the first time, he's discovered who his own people actually are. My suspicion is that this protagonist has probably spent the bulk of his life just sort of wandering around. And maybe for the first time, he feels an acute sense of identification with one community, and he wants to honor that any way he can.
Tope Fularen is this year's winner of the Kane Prize for African Writing for his short story, Miracle. Tope, thank you and congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.